We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We are going to get to the super chats, and I do want to thank everybody for the super chats here that you all have brought. So, John the Falcon, super chat. Thank you, John. Williams, great, as he has only ended with 232 yards. I feel the real issue is Notre Dame couldn't stop outside zone. I feel Notre Dame at times was running fronts. I haven't seen much of all year. Guys look confused. Yeah, I mean, you know, this is the problem. Like the super chats, sometimes we get these super chats guys that were in, or John got this in really early,
right?
Like right when the show started, and then we ended up talking about it. But John's right, guys. I mean, you know, I think that's the observation we're talking about, right? You saw stuff that we hadn't seen all year, which means you're asking your kids not to do what got you here. I mean, this defense had not allowed a Power Five offense to gain over 100 yards since they gave up 112 yards to Cal back in September. And a lot of that came on scrambles. And then you went away from that.
Right.
Against USC.
Yep.
Because what did we say coming in? Stop the run. You stop the run. Don't let them run on you. Because if they find balance, they will beat you.
Yep. We said it. You said it. I said it. We all said it.
This is last year's USC guys where they can't beat you running the ball. Remember what Clark Lee did this twice, and it was really smart. In 19, he said, we're going to make them run because they can't beat us on the ball. Because they didn't want to run. That USC team did not want to run. Graham Harrell did not want to run the football. And so you're doing something that he's not used to. This team has no problem coming out and running on you if you're going to give them that. None.
None of Lincoln Riley's
offense have always been that way.
Ever. Yeah, exactly. Yes. They always like to run the ball.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
David Hess with a super chat. Thank you, David. I'm proud of this team. They could have packed it in after Stanford, but they kept fighting. It shows they want to play for Marcus Freeman. A lot to look forward to and excited for. Auburn, Notre Dame. Ryan, I'll say this to you as well. It's not just that. That's the macro thing. Like, that's the big picture thing. And he's right on. And we'll have a lot of offseason to talk about the big picture stuff. But I felt the same way tonight. They could have quit after 24-7.
Yeah.
They could have quit after 31-14. They could have quit after 38-21. And they didn't. They came right back down the field each time and scored. And even the defense, as bad as it played, had a shot at the end, 38-21, to just pack it in and let USC roll them. And they didn't. They made a stop. Offense goes down. You know, they're able to help the offense out a little bit. But there are some players tonight that I did not think brought it. Some veterans that I did not think brought it. And I'm not going to call them out again. I've said their names. But as a whole, this team didn't quit. They didn't execute well enough. As players, they made technical and big mistakes as players. There were some coaching issues. I mean, everybody deserves a little bit of blame. Everybody likes to put it about blame. But for the most part, this team didn't quit. And I do think that says a lot about the veteran leadership, because they did, which we criticized early in the year. They could have quit after Stanford. They could have quit today, and they didn't. They didn't play well enough to win, and that's all that matters. But this team did not quit, and I think that's something that you can build on moving forward, guys. Ryan.
Well, I mean, this team, to your point, was 0-2 at one point, right? Where they lost to
embarrassing 0-2
at home. Yeah. They've had a couple decommitments at points, you know, over the last few months. Things have not gone well at certain times. And I point to a couple different players specifically, like the fact that Michael Mayer is playing as hard as he is today when he doesn't have to, right? Like, he could have packed it in weeks ago. The kid's going in the first round. He didn't have to play the last few games. And who knows if he'll play the whole game. I'm sure we'll have a lot of conversations about that, right? He doesn't need to. He didn't need to play the last few games to be a first-round pick. That was just who he was.
Yep.
Isaiah Foskey, I thought, played about as hard as any player on the field today.
Absolutely.
Incredible effort, man.
While getting held all night long. Yep.
And not being, because I see a lot of people in the chat about the holding stuff, and you know my thought process on that. Isaiah Foskey wasn't just like, oh, I'm being held, I'm stopping on this play. No.
Right.
He was pedal to the metal, 110 miles an hour every single snap. And another guy that is going to get drafted pretty high. Right. And yet he's still doing it every single week. And I think that that's one thing that makes you feel positive about this team, is that there were moments this year where they could have quit. They could have packed it in. They could have lost the locker room, and they kept playing hard for Coach Freeman. They did. Is that across the board, every single player? I mean, we can find the players on the film, and people saw it, right? They know the players that didn't maybe give everything they had. But for the most part, this coaching staff did not lose the room. And I think that there is a learning opportunity moving forward. And I think that there was a atmosphere, a philosophy, a feeling that has been instilled in this program that hopefully keeps building. Because I think that there can be something special here. Because I do think that I think the players have, for the most part, bought in. And for the ones that haven't bought in, they won't be a part of the solution. That's it. That's all.
Right.
And we talked about that, right, Brian? It's like what's happening down at Miami right now, right? Miami's a bad football team, but they're trying to clean house and getting rid of trimming the fats. Those guys are out of here. Let's keep who wants to be a part of this. And I feel like that's what's going to happen in Notre Dame and what needs to happen at Notre Dame. Not everybody's going to be a part of the solution, but I think there's a lot that do want to be a part of it and have bought into the vision.
There might be a couple NFL decisions that need to get made for people. That's all I'm going to say.
All right. I got one.
Oh. Yeah, we're on the same page, Vince.
I made a comment during the live chat that I probably shouldn't have made, but that I have one, that's for sure.
Yeah. Derek Colmer said, for Sid, I love Notre Dame. I love Tommy. I love Al Golden and Pine and all of you. I love Duo. That's fun. That's messed up, night, especially since
so far.
So it's a little messed up.
Comment of the night.
Kind of funny. Derek, Patrick Barnes was super. Thank you, Patrick. Notre Dame was a quarterback away from winning tonight. The difference in quarterbacks was the difference in the game.
To a degree.
Yeah.
He didn't turn the ball over twice.
Right. And he made some, I mean, Like, I thought Drew executed the system tonight really well.
I agree.
What Caleb Williams did was executed it well at times, and other times just like, you know, I'm going to go do something that nobody else is capable of doing.
Exactly.
So, you know. Yes.
I'll say this too. I mean, yeah, is it a difference? Maybe they win a shootout, but I mean, regardless, there were part of Notre Dame's team that they did not play well tonight. Right. I mean, it was could have been the difference in the football game. Sure. Yeah. But it's not. I don't know. There's just.
I guess I agree with you, right? But I guess my point would be, and I don't disagree with you at all, and we were kind of having an argument about this earlier. I don't think Notre Dame needs a kid like Caleb Williams to compete for a championship because I think they're so good at other places. I will say this, however. It felt a lot like the playoff game in 2018 and 2000, more so in 2018, where it's like, you don't need that, but if you put that kid on this team, it's not a 38-27 game, fellas, if you switch quarterbacks. And I don't mean this to be disrespectful to Drew Pine. I think everyone would admit, no matter how much you may love Drew Pine, that there's a big difference between Drew Pine and Caleb Williams. But if you put a kid like Caleb Williams on this roster, no one's questioning how good the receivers are at Notre Dame.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, nobody's questioning Tommy Reese isn't taking the flack he has taken, and a lot of it's been justified, right? I mean, but I'm just saying is, like, it's not a 38-27 game if you switch quarterbacks. It's just not. Mm-hmm. It's just not. And I think that's where I kind of push back on some people and say, oh, this Notre Dame team doesn't have talent. I'm like, no, they have talent. Like, you know, we don't hear people complaining about the linebackers for a month and a half, and then they play bad, and it's all the linebackers suck and they're slow. Like, we're back to that whole the linebackers are slow thing again, right? Like, that's come on, favorite. Don't be lazy, right? Don't be lazy. But if you put that kid on Notre Dame's roster, and that's why we're so excited. Y'all want to know why Sean was dancing at the beginning of the Kenny Minchie commitment video? Because we see a kid that can be that. I'm not saying he's Caleb Williams, because you know who else doesn't have Caleb Williams? All 130 other teams in college football, right? But right. Like, he's 20, the kind
29
of
player, out of 32 starting right. quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah. Right, exactly. You know who? That's why we're fired up about CJ Carr. That's why we're fired up about Kenny Minchie, because you're raising the bar of what you can have, because we know how close this team is and has been for years. Right. It's not just quarterback. Like, you don't have the best for linebacking. We're not sitting there saying like, oh, they have a bunch of Jalen Smiths and they just weren't used well tonight by Al Gold. I'm not saying that, but there's a difference between saying that and saying they're slow and they stink and they can't play. Right. Like, that's lazy. We're in the middle saying there's some talent here. And at times that talent doesn't play well. And at times maybe the talent's not being put in the position to be successful. And that's the point. And Jalen Mickey's going to be a very good football player at Notre Dame. He will be. Right. Whereas Benjamin Morrison earned his starting role, Jalen Mickey was thrust into that. He wasn't ready for it yet, you know, and then, you know, they doubled it down. But I'm going to say this, guys. You switch quarterbacks and all of a sudden we're having a different conversation. So I do agree with Patrick there. It's like the 2018 bowl. Now, I think that game would have been much closer because I think Notre Dame wins with Trevor Lawrence, but it wouldn't have been 30-3. It wouldn't have reversed the score. I think if you switch quarterbacks tonight, this game is not even close. Not close.
No.
Because Notre Dame's overall roster is better than USC.
Yes.
It just is. They didn't play like it tonight. USC was the better team tonight. They have the better quarterback every night. And that's the difference. A. Clayton 47 with Super Chat. Was Tobias injured? Concussion. Not sure if that was Al Golden. I'm not sure if it was that Al Golden was outcoached or if it was that Caleb Williams' magic that was the reason for the final score. Notre Dame will be dangerous next year. And this comment, guys, was made really early in the chat before we had a lot of the conversation about that. I think what do I always say, guys? We can walk and chew gum at the same time, right? We can tip our cap to how good Caleb Williams was and still recognize that the defense wasn't always put in the position to be successful against him, right? Because that's what I loved about Oregon State's game. Oregon State said, hey, here's who we are. And if he beats us, he beats us, right? And simple as that. And I'll always live with that. I'll always live with, hey, we played our game and they just wasn't enough tonight. I can live with that, guys. I can't live when you say, I don't trust my guys. We're going to do something different. I don't know. Christopher Morgan with Super Chat. Happy late Thanksgiving to all IB fans. Same to you, Christopher. This is a hard pill to swallow today. Drew Pine played it at 84%. I'm proud of how our guys played until the end. Mad about the Michigan win, but at least LSU lost. Yes, I mean, that is –
That last part spot on right there. Yes.
And not only lost, lost to a 5-7 team, and lost in a very similar final score to the way that UMass lost to LSU. am I off with that comment, guys? Am I misguided on that comment? Because I'm trying to do my math here, and Texas A&M beat LSU by 15, and Texas A&M beat UMass by 17. So yeah.
Well, I'm just happy that Brian Eminem Kelly, the real Brian Kelly, finally stood up today. That's what I'm happy about.
At least LSU gets to play Georgia now, so that'll be fun.
Curb stomped. You couldn't beat Texas A&M, and you got to go play Georgia next week.
Yep, that's your consolation prize. Good luck.
Hey, Sean, you know what movie situation's playing through my head right now, right? You know what Kirby's going to say to Brian at midfield before the game?
Don't take it personally, my man.
I mean, if LSU loses, when LSU loses next weekend, there's an outside chance Notre Dame could pull LSU in a bowl game. Like, that's a chance.
God.
There is. And if that happens, ain't nobody opting out for the NFL, okay?
No. Michael Mayer's like, can Ray start training for the NFL? I'm saying, who'd we get?
Yeah.
Sorry. I ain't ready yet.
I didn't sign the contract yet.
Oh, Christopher Moore with Super Chat. We beat USC by 20 on October 14th in 2023 with Kenny Minchie. I think they could beat him. I think by 20, we'll see. I need to see who you – I don't know what USC's team is going to look like next year, fellas. I mean, I have no clue.
Completely different roster.
Half their roster is not even on their roster right now for next year.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to be hard to beat Caleb Williams by 20, and especially with a true freshman quarterback. Might be putting a little bit on Kenny Minchie's shoulders.
Right.
So a buddy of mine said the other day, he said, I don't think Notre Dame's starting quarterback for next year's on the roster right now. And I tend to agree with him. I just am not sure that it's Kenny Minchie. But we'll see.
We'll see.
Thank you for the super chat, Christopher, by the way. And Joe Papiti with a super chat also. My question is this. What do we need to get to USC's level? By the way, USC is everything that's wrong with college football. Go Irish. I think the last part is right. But look, I don't love what Lane Kiffin did, but he's playing within the rules that they're allowing. And the things that he's not doing that are ethical, he's doing because he knows they won't do anything about it.
Yeah.
And that's what frustrates me about it. But I think Joe, we've answered the question, guys. It's get better at quarterback. I mean, and then trust your guys. I think Alex Grinch and Lincoln Riley tonight said we're gonna lose, win or lose to Notre Dame doing what we do.
Yeah.
And then they did some wrinkles that I thought hurt Notre Dame, like a lot of the misdirection stuff early. I thought was meant to kind of slow Notre Dame down a little bit, but they danced with the one that got them there.
Yep.
Jim Halloran with a super chat. Thank you very much, Jim. IB staff, thank you for a great season of insight and intel. Go IB and go Irish. We appreciate you, Jim, very much.
But Jim, hey, don't worry.
Vince, as you and I learned, we there's no off season for us, fellas. We're ladies and gents. We're going to be back. The Spanky 412. The game felt like I was playing a 7-year-old in Madden who was playing with Michael Vick. Hail Mary every play, only he would scramble every time with Vick. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing about tonight is he didn't just play within the offense, Vince.
Right.
He just did stuff that you can't teach that.
The Hail Mary stuff. I think this quote would have been accurate for the Michigan game. Because it was just, woo!
No, but he's saying instead of Hail Marys.
Right, like I know. Right.
You're just scrambling every time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, by the way, that was just here's the deal. Notre Dame got outplayed tonight, right? We can all agree with that?
Yeah.
But they didn't quit. We watched in Columbus today, we watched the team quit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You don't give up back-to-back, like, 75-yard touchdown runs by not quitting.
No. Sorry. Yeah, they didn't quit. And Marcus Freeman's going to be pissed off and frustrated tonight, I'm sure. So will Tommy Reese. But for the most part, I don't think they're going to say, hey, our kids didn't leave it all out there. They didn't execute. Like, Maris Lufau played bad tonight. J.D. Bertrand played bad tonight.
Mm-hmm.
They played hard.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't execute. Would you agree with that? I mean, they didn't play well, but I mean, Maris was out there pad popping all night long. He just wasn't playing well.
I thought the whole team played hard.
Yeah.
The effort wasn't the issue. Effort, man, look, Look, Isaiah Foskey had at least three chase downs.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
10 yards down the field.
Mm-hmm.
And that for me was like, okay.
Yep.
You see a guy like that playing that hard? That's the way he played in that Oklahoma State game, in a bowl game, just making plays all over the place, creating fumbles, havoc, getting held, but still getting to the quarterback. I thought he did himself. Ryan, I thought scouts probably liked what they saw from him tonight.
Yep.
He did himself well in the eyes of the NFL scouts tonight.
I agree.
Man, we're just putting we're just laying down some pancakes tonight, guys.
Dude, I've been blocking people all night. It's been kind of enjoyable.
No doubt.
No S's given over here.
Yeah. Like Jim Halloran said, Maris played out of control. Don't disagree, Jim. Don't disagree at all. What we're sitting there trying to say is there's certain things, like part of a coach's job, guys, is to identify the problem. And then you check off, okay, I don't got to question effort. There's some. Sean, you keep saying the whole team played well. I want to say something. I want to see if this is kind of where you are. There are some individuals that I'm going to have some come to Jesus conversations with about how they played tonight effort-wise, but it's a very small handful of people. As a whole, in the locker room, I'm telling my kids, I'm proud of you the way you played tonight. I'm proud of the effort you played with tonight. I'm proud of you played hard. You played physical. We didn't execute. That's on all of us. That's on us as coaches. But then, like, next week I'm having some sit-downs with a couple kids.
Oh, yeah.
Is that accurate, Sean, of kind of when you say the whole team? I mean, are we on the same page?
I didn't say they played well. I said they all played hard.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, you say they all played hard. I don't think the whole team played hard. I think there was a couple guys and I'm having come to Jesus conversation about their effort tonight. But it's a very small group.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing, right? When you have guys that – when you have a team that goes out and plays hard, those type of guys get exposed because they can't hide.
Yes, it's a great point. Hot.
Like, because you're watching everybody else around them, and you're like, yo, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Yeah. And that, for me, that's the standout. You know, I already know the one Vince was talking about.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there was no return on investment.
No. Right. When your matching number on the offensive side had a better tackle, that's a problem for me.
Yeah, I agree.
Just saying.
I agree. Yeah. So, look, but in the same book, you can say that, but then also over the last 3 weeks, say, yo, I'm glad they stuck with Xavier Watts
at that
position because he's starting to trend. Like, I don't know how good he's going to be, but he's starting to make plays.
Yeah.
And he's starting to show, hey, I can be a dude back here. I can be pretty good. And he
played the whole game. I mean, he was, for the most part,
he's rangier than what DJ Brown,
some
of the other guys you had back there.
He's a better tackler.
Good tackler. So, I mean, that's what's coming in the recruiting classes. Look, sometimes we can be nice. Sometimes it is as simple as better talent. That's not to say the guys that are on the field aren't fast. The guys coming in can be faster. Like, both things can be true.
Right.
The guys coming in can be more athletic. The guys can,
or longer. Right. Or I mean, there's all, like, that's the thing. It's like, there's a difference between, and this is what we try to do on this channel. We try to give real analysis, not like hot takes. Oh, they lack speed. That's a hot take that just isn't really backed up. And
true.
I mean, like, we talked about, like, somebody – I had literally had somebody say, you know, Notre Dame hasn't really had guys that can run. And I'm like, Drew White could run. Go look at his 40 time last year at Pro Day and compare it to other linebackers. He ran faster than two of Georgia's three starting linebackers last year.
He ran in the 4.6s at the Pro Day.
Yes. Yeah. The difference is he's 6 foot, 225 pounds with short arms. Right. Mm-hmm. And Channing Tindall is not that. Quay Walker is not that. JD Bertrand is a really good athlete. He's just
Quay Walker. I was waiting for Ryan to explode.
I know, right? He's too tired to explode. This is so far past Ryan's bedtime. It's not even fun. But the point is, right, is can they get better? Yeah. Can they get faster? Sure. I will say this, safety is the one position where I think in spots they do lack speed and athleticism. I do believe that. that is why a kid like Peyton Bowen is so important for Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why Xavier Watts emerging tonight is important because, Sean, you and I talked about this a couple weeks ago. That kid moves different than everybody else they have at safety.
Right.
And you saw it tonight because he's more comfortable now. And you're like, that kid came out of nowhere. Right. Like on that one bootleg where Benjamin Morrison took the slide, I'm thinking this tight end's going to walk in for a touchdown.
No.
And it's out of nowhere, 26, whoom,
right there,
and breaks the pass up.
Yeah.
Okay. That's different.
Yeah.
You know, so he can play. And that's the thing is just, I don't want to be lazy with stuff. We can say, hey, JD, you can get better than JD Bertrand and Maris Luofau, but it's not about they're slow or unathletic.
No,
it's, you can still get better though. Yeah. Sean, I think that's a great point. It's a great point.
I think, yeah, I would love to have some faster edge rushers chasing Caleb Williams. Yeah. Of course I would.
Yeah,
it'd be nice.
It's also why I hated the blitzing that they did, because if you don't hit home, you have no one on the second. There's a first level and a third level, and that's all you have left.
Yeah.
Well, if you think that Maris Luofau can't run, then I don't know what to tell you. You know what I mean?
So. The difference in speed between Maris and Jalen Snead is not great.
Yes.
The difference is I think Jalen's a little bit more of an instinctive football player. 100%. Nolan Ziegler is a lot more instinctive as a football player.
Yes.
Right? Like, that's the difference. Maris can flat out fly. It's just he just doesn't always know where he's going.
100%.
Go just Irish like 98. Walker. Exactly. I love the saltiness. The defensive game, go Irish 98. Thank you for your super chat very much. So the defensive game plan changed because of Tariq and Cam being out. I don't think so. Did you guys like?
I think, Sean,
you made the comment earlier that they kept asking him to be Cam Hart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. I don't think they changed the coverage game plan.
I don't think it changed at all.
No. I think they changed the front stuff. But to me.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
Right. I think they should have changed the game plan without Cam.
Right.
Yes.
And they didn't. And the things they did change, I don't think it had anything to do with the secondary. They were more about your like, my understanding is that's kind of something that that's how they view playing these type of teams.
Yeah, I read this differently. You're spot on with what you're saying. You and Ryan spot on. Because, yes, they did not. But I think the ability to have something else to go to, I do think it limited Al Golden from some of the things he might have wanted to do if he had Tariq and Cam in a lineup.
Tariq more so than Cam.
Yeah. I think he's a lot more aggressive if he has those two guys in the lineup. I think he's a lot more aggressive differently.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was aggressive, you know, with the blitzes tonight, but I think he would have been aggressive. There wouldn't have been a 10-yard cushion on third and two for the field.
I actually think he was trying to be overly aggressive out of necessity in his mind. He was like, I can't trust Jaden Mickey, so I'm going to blitz every single snap with one of my linebackers, maybe have multiple fires. Like, I actually thought it was like a forced aggression, in his opinion, Sean, which I don't think is justified completely, but that's just kind of where my mind goes.
Once again, it goes to what you guys have been saying. If you don't trust him, at least let him play his game.
Right.
No doubt about it.
If you don't trust the kid, let him play his game.
Right.
Don't leave him at a disadvantage and call the game as if you don't trust him. The kids are smart. They understand what's going on. They know. So.
I have a super chat from Christopher Morgan. Thank you very much, Christopher. What happened to wrapping up tackles? I learned this in seventh grade. Hunt, attack, stick, contain. 0 yards after contact. Stop the advancing yards. We talked about that during the week, guys. You have to stop them where they catch it. And that was my biggest beef with Jaden Mickey today. Dude, come up and go low.
He was grabbing air, and that's why he got that face mask. He was going too high. Yes, that's why you go low.
Run through his knees.
Yeah.
You know, but he'll learn. So the thing about Jaden is his confidence is not going to be shot by tonight or any other plays. He's going to be plenty confident. He's going to learn. Look, kids like him who have the psyche to handle failure really can benefit a ton from it, right? Because some guys you don't want them to fail because they don't have the mental psyche to bounce back from it. Like, this is good lessons for Jaden. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, next year maybe he will be more comfortable in the nickel because they're going to need him to play there next year. I mean, that's but yeah. Now you've got a full offseason to hopefully get him comfortable there. Because, you know, I mean, if Cam Hart comes back, and you know, it's if we'll have to see how it plays out, but you know, I feel there's a good chance that Cam Hart comes back next year. You're going to want to get Jaden on the field, so put him in the nickel.
I think that's
I mean, I know to me, not
the spot that you want him in, I get it. But to get him on the field.
Well, no, what Sean's saying is that's not where to put him this year.
Right.
No,
okay. Right. Fair enough.
Right.
Learn.
Like, right. Because they put him in there at like the last minute. Right, right, right.
Right.
Because when he was showing out early in the spring, he wasn't playing nickel.
He was playing outside, correct.
When did Tariq made that transition like the middle of a year?
Yeah, and it was 20. No, actually, it was last year, really. Because Tariq in 18 and 19 was an outside guy.
Yeah, and he had the rest of the year
to
learn it.
And that's why he got so much better this year.
Absolutely.
Because he had his ups and downs a little bit last year in that look. And there were some games Tariq was good and some games he wasn't good.
Yeah.
But he got a lot better at it. Nick Gonzalez with a super chat. Thank you very much, Nick. Late here, but have we discussed the amount of cushion on third and 3-5? I mean, where sitting 10? Yeah, Nick, we did. It was frustrating. Oh, yeah. It was making it. And this is the thing we talked before the game, guys. You had to make USC work harder for the yards. And if he's going to beat me by throwing a beautifully, perfectly placed corner out on 3rd and 5, then you know what? It is what it is. I'm not giving them easy yards. And I thought there was a way. There was too much of that in the run game, and there was too much of that in the quick game. And it was not smart against this team because they will take that. This offense will take that all game long. You're not putting them in a position where they're doing things they don't want to do. USC will have no problem, and we saw this at Oklahoma. If you're going to give him 250 rushing yards, he's going to take 250 rushing yards, and you're going to lose. You know, and that was it. Fat Jack with a super chat. Thank you, Fat Jack 33. Appreciate you. My guy DC with some big catches tonight. Excited to see him and Tobias with the new guys coming in. I'll choose to trust Freeman and look forward. Tonight stunk, though. Tonight did stink. But tonight doesn't mean the future changes. It doesn't. Some people put too much into taking little things and making it a bigger thing than it is. Tonight sucked. It did. There's lessons to be learned. It doesn't all of a sudden erase things that have happened before. Just like the 5-game win streak didn't erase the lessons you needed to learn from Stanford.
Sure.
Just like beating North Carolina's brains, it doesn't erase the lessons you needed to learn from Marshall. Right, you don't forget those things, but it is trending in a positive direction. Regarding Deon Colsey, this is kind of where I'm coming from. If you're going to be this type of team offensively, then he needed to play more, and Tobias needed to play more from jump, because there were two balls tonight that were caught because Deon is big, and that's his game. Yep. That Braden can't make those, not because Braden's not talented, because that's not his game. And Deion's a good football player. And Jaden Thomas, guys, his route running tonight, we didn't talk about this like now, but we talked about it in the live. His route running tonight was really good.
It was a clinic, man.
Yeah, it really was. He's become a really solid. Like, you start feeling like, okay, when Tobias comes back healthy, you got Deion, Jaden Thomas. Hopefully Lorenzo comes back. I hope he does and gets his head on straight with the kids you got coming. All of a sudden, your receiving core has a chance to be pretty darn good next year and a lot bigger. That's the key. A lot bigger next year.
Yep.
And that's going to be a key. With the exception of, and there's going to be all these trees and then like Dylan Edwards. And then like, you know, it's like,
that's okay. When he's running away from good, guys, buddy. It's all good.
Got a super sticker from Milton Fan. Appreciate Milton Fan 15. Appreciate you. Also has a question. Is Maris a liability? Seems useless to blitz him. Ryan, sometimes. Yes, sometimes no. Tonight, he was.
He was a liability tonight, for sure. I mean, he's the last, maddening. What would we say, Brian? 3-4 games, he's been a strength good. Of the team. Like, he's been a good player. Was he a liability tonight? Absolutely. There's no doubt. Would never say that he wasn't. It was unfortunate that he was as bad as he was tonight. It's very unfortunate.
Yeah, he's a maddening player. Because sometimes you're like, now that's the Maris that we thought we were going to get. And then sometimes you're like, oh my gosh, what are you doing with this kid? Yeah. Like, and what is this kid doing? It just, oh, goodness gracious. All right. Tom Frawley with Super Chat. Thank you, Tom. At the end of the day, Notre Dame did not match up well with USC. Reese blew chances to burn USC when they were in cover one.
They burned him a lot in cover one, actually.
I agree to disagree. Your quarterback went 23 of 26 for 318 yards and three touchdowns. And not all of that was late in the game either. I mean, you know, you threw the ball well.
I mean, yeah.
That's how you got down the field to score. You turned the ball over.
If you're watching the live with us, every time Brian said, you got one-on-one with Mayer, he threw the ball there and completed it. So
when the game was still in doubt.
Yes, correct.
So, wasn't that touchdown to Deion Colsey against cover one as well, right? Wasn't that?
Pretty sure.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you had the throw to Mayer, the throw to Colsey. You took advantage of cover one by taking a check down to Aldrick Estime that went for 30 yards. I would have liked to have seen that again. But, look, there's things to be frustrated by, Tom. I get it. And this show has not been unwilling to go after Tommy Rees this year at all. But I don't want Irish Breakdown to be a channel that just goes after people just because.
Right.
You know what I mean? And look, we'll break down the film, and I'm sure there's going to be other calls we didn't like. Look, we didn't like the third two call. We didn't like the fourth one call.
Nope.
But we're just not going to be in that thing. Well, Rees did that. Look, I'm supposed to bang on Tommy Rees for a quarterback dropping a ball. At some point in time, I'm more than willing to say, hey, the coach's job to get kids to execute. But then there's times where you see things so often that you're like, I know that they coached this kid to do that. At some point in time, the young man's got to go make plays. And a lot of the time tonight, Drew did. Because, fellas, if Drew doesn't play, if Drew plays the way he has the last month, this game's a blowout.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because of how bad the defense played, because they couldn't run the ball, if Drew played like he did against Clemson, this is a blow. This is a 38-13 game. Right? And we have to be willing to say that. He just can't make those mistakes. I mean, the call – the call on the because they were switched to zone late in the game, and so he called that cover. That was a great cover two beater, a quick out by the inside guy and a go route by the outside guy, and you hit that whole throw, and the safety was way off the ball. I mean, that should have been an easy 25-yard gain. Yeah. If Deion makes one guy miss, it's a huge gain.
He stepped into that throw, but then didn't pull the trigger.
He wanted. He just couldn't do it.
That was
he knew it was there, guys. Yes. Vince, you were going off. You saw him see it. He just couldn't pull the trigger. And that's the difference between sometimes great quarterbacks and not great quarterbacks. It's not the physical talent. It's are you willing to make that throw or not?
But that goes back to the show we did this week with Kenny Minchie, right? When I asked Ryan, like, break down, like, what makes him special pre-snap and immediately recognizing it post-snap. Like, and being able to pull the trigger. Because it's not about seeing it. It's about anticipating it, right? He anticipates, and as soon as they start to move apart, like, the ball is there. And that is the difference in certain quarterbacks having to see it and then trust it. Like, if you trust it because of what you saw pre and what you saw at the snap. That's the trust. My guy's going to be there. Let me let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Leave it.
Yep. Next super chat from TJ Fallon. Could a move to Viper be good for Marist? Do we have a chance to bring 16 back next year? Love the show, guys. Can't wait to see what the future holds for Notre Dame under Marcus Freeman.
Deion Colsey will definitely be back.
I don't think that's the 16 he's talking about. on the first one, I know you guys know that. On the first one, Sean, put your left hand
down. Put your arm down.
Oh, my fault.
That's because Sean lost the bet, y'all. Yeah.
It took an hour 45 for that to come out.
Yeah. But. Yeah. regarding eight, I don't know if he's a full time Viper, but I do think there could be a role for him next year.
Agreed.
I do. A lot of it's going to depend on what kind of offseason does Prince Collie have? Does Junior Tu Alamaka have? Does Jalen Sneed have? Does Nolan Ziegler have? All that kind of stuff. But I think there's a conversation needs to be had with him about that for sure. Regarding number 16, I'm just going to say this, and I'll speak for all of us, but if one of you feels the need compelled to push back or disagree, you can. I am going to have sit down and have a long conversation with number 16 and say, hey, we'd love to have you back, but here's what we gotta know that you're really like.
He looked checked out to me. Yeah. He's looked checked out for the last few games.
Look, he hadn't played the last couple games, because of injuries and stuff like that. But, like, true. I just got to know what it was. Is it because you weren't comfortable in the defense? But Brandon Joseph can be better than what he was this year. We've seen it. But I got to know that he's all in. Right. And if he is, I'll bring him back. I just don't think he is. And I don't even mean that in a negative way. I think he came to Notre Dame for a year,
right,
with the thought of going to the NFL. And if that's where he wants to be, I'm cool with that. I really am. That's okay. Go chase your dream, young man. Right? Go chase it. And I wish you all the best. And I hope it works out well for you. And then you move on with guys that have those aspirations. But that'd be an interesting conversation. That'd be a different conversation I'm having. Cam, you want to be back? Yes, sir. I do. Okay. Cool. Let's roll.
Yeah.
It's a different conversation.
Yep. Absolutely different conversation.
Super chat from W118CMH. Thank you very, very much. I said it on the board. If you said before the game that Pine would throw nearly 30 times with two turnovers and score 27, would the D hold them under and under USC under their average? Yeah. There's a lot of I would have said before, if I'd have told you before the game that Drew Pine would have gone 23 of 36, 318 yards and three touchdowns, a lot of y'all would have thought Notre Dame's going to win. I'll say one thing I did say before the game. I did get one thing right. I did say before the game that win or lose, the score is going to be 40-27. I was close. Are you going to win that way or lose that way? I was close. But I just kind of felt like if Notre Dame didn't do the things they needed to do, they weren't going to be able to stop USC. And that's kind of how it played out. Brendan McGrath Music. Thank you for the super chat, Brendan. Born in 83 and lived in LA my whole life. This one stings. I've seen highs and lows in this rivalry, but win or lose, I'm glad to hang with you guys and IB community after games.
Future there it is. Bright.
Hey, we appreciate you, Brendan. It was a lot of fun tonight. It was frustrating, but it was a lot of fun. The show was fun tonight. And yes, the future is bright. The future is bright. What's wrong, Vince?
When you had that last super chat up, all I could see were Sean's eyes just going back and forth.
Like he's creeping up over.
For some reason, it struck me as hilarious.
Like he's looking down on it, like looking over, trying to read it from the top. Yeah. Relic you, super chat. Give me hope for what's next. Pine, Buckner, Minshew, or transfer QB. Tweak the staff, roll schemes, new class. How far are we away? Look, guys, Notre Dame's not that far away.
No.
Okay, they're not. Are they there yet? No, clearly not. They went 8-4. They're not there yet. But Relic Q, I'm very excited for the future. Mm-hmm. They're not there yet. There's improvements got to be made in every area. We'll have a whole off season to address those things. Because otherwise, if we address them all now, what are we going to do in February, March, April, May, and June before next season? So we'll have plenty of time to talk about that. But look, guys, you want hope. I'm optimistic about it. Like part of the reason I was so frustrated during the Kelly tenure is because I knew nothing was going to change.
Right.
And we knew who they were. This team's got so much more potential and there's a lot of things that are going to get better. So just brighter days are ahead. David Prevo, the super sticker. Thank you, David. Very, very much. Relic with another one. Thank you very much. There's one unit that has brought it week in and week out, and it's this Irish breakdown starting at 4. I appreciate that.
Thanks, man.
Getting Ryan Roberts and Sean Davis from the portal was clutch. Thanks for the work this offseason. Hey, I just flat out bought them. All right, I'm not gonna lie.
To NIL, y'all. Baby.
I just NIL flat money. Out bought them. All right, so
I was homegrown.
This Lucky Lefty podcast is doing pretty good. Hey, y'all.
I was recruited. Come on
over, I was Caleb Williams and he was Jordan Addison.
So. There you go. I'm not going to lie. I can't even hate that.
I was recruited.
I can't even hate that.
I came in early.
Yeah. So
early enrollee.
I do have a great team here and I love this team. And the thing about it is what y'all don't understand is these are three good dudes as well. You know, I'm not, but they're good dads. They're caring dads. They're good friends. They're good people. They're good people. And that makes it a lot more fun to go to work every day when you respect the people you work with. That's how I feel. Y'all may not, but that's how I feel. Michael, our friend from Germany, no way we could win that game today. Both lines missed out, but thank you so much for all the great shows. You are welcome, Michael, and we appreciate you very, very much. No, they weren't going to win tonight the way they played. They needed to play better. Tristan Mize with the super chat. Fire Tommy Rees, then pay Drake May. LMAO, probably overly wishful thinking, but oh well. Hey, look, I don't know what y'all is. Drew Pye was a better quarterback this weekend than Drake May was.
That's a fact.
Drake May is a much better quarterback than Drew Pine. Okay. But what I'm saying is everybody wants to focus on Drew Pine, and Drew has to make those plays, but this is not a Drew Pine loss. This is a Notre Dame team loss. Number one, far apart. I'm not going to address that one, but they do need to look in the portal for a quarterback for a host of reasons, and then let those kids battle and may the best man win.
Yeah. There could be six quarterbacks in the spring battling.
Yeah, possibly. I don't think so. I think we'll address that after the season, but I get where you're coming from, Mitch. I'm just saying I don't think everyone that would – if there's the certain new additions, I think there might be some departures.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
Cody Shree with a super chat. Excited for the future. Tough loss tonight. Excited to see what a top three recruiting class will bring to Notre Dame. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Because I've asked people, do you think this loss is going to hurt Notre Dame with Caleb, with Peyton Bowen? I'm like, did y'all see what happened to Oklahoma tonight? Like, y'all, some of y'all need some context in life. They lost in overtime to Texas Tech, y'all.
Yeah, because I know Tech
51 to 40.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Go ahead, Sean, with what you're saying.
No, I'm saying I saw that Tech missed the field goal to tie it, but I guess Oklahoma had called timeout.
Yeah, and then they nailed it.
Wow.
They were up 17. Oklahoma was up 17 to nothing and lost. Right? Wow. And this was kind of my thing, you know, like with Jacob Lacy. It's like, I love Jacob Lacy as a kid, but you walked away from this team to be a part of that defense over snaps. That's it. Just wanted more snaps. I mean, they gave up 600. And I told y'all, Ryan, you didn't disagree with me. Ryan didn't disagree with me. But I said on Friday, yesterday in the show, Texas Tech's going to beat Oklahoma. Like, just – that wasn't exactly like a bold prediction. They're not good.
I won't be surprised by anything Oklahoma does this year. They are not a good football team.
They gave up 599 yards of offense to Texas Tech tonight. Like, they made Texas Tech look like an old school Texas Tech team. I'll say
Who played quarterback for Texas Tech? Was it Chuck tonight?
It was, yes. They gave up 436 passing yards to that kid. That's the Oregon transfer. That's bad. I'll tell you what, Joey McGuire is doing a really nice job down there in Lubbock. Really nice job. D-Rock Irish, biggest surprise tonight, Vince not punching a hole in the wall. And that wasn't a super chat, but that had to be up there. Yes, there's right. No doubt.
I would love to see Vince try to punch a hole through a wall.
Yeah, it'll happen.
I had a patch
in the Nation with a super chat. When was the last time we had one punt and lost?
I mean, that's a really good point, because about, I don't know, it was midway through the fourth quarter, early in the fourth quarter, I went and looked at the special teams. I was like, holy crap, Notre Dame's only punted once. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, they turned the ball over twice. Right. So,
yeah, but, yeah, but the one turnover wasn't going to result.
It was going to result at the very least a field goal try. Right. I mean, it was there on the 24-yard line where it was closer than that, because that's where it was recovered. But yeah. 26.
Yeah, I'm actually going to look that up while we're doing some of these conversations. But let's see here. Next one from TJ Fallon. 87 will be missed. Thanks for the memories. Other than 20, who do you think has the brightest future for our young guys? We're going to talk about this next week.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to make sure people understand this. We watched greatness the last 3 years of Michael Mayer.
No doubt.
And not just greatness from a talent standpoint. But you talk to anyone around the Notre Dame program, he was one of their hardest workers. He was a great leader. I remember getting a phone call this summer from a parent of a freshman who does not play tight end, who said Michael Mayer this summer showed up at his kid's door and knocked on the door, and he said, come on, you're working out with me today. Right? Like, for what? What is Michael Mayer benefiting from getting some freshman kid who's probably not going to play to work out with him this summer? He didn't, but he cared about the program, and he's invested in what the program is going to be.
Which is why, you know, I don't think this is the last time we saw him in a uniform.
We'll see.
That's me talking.
But that's, I'm not saying it is, but what I'm saying is what we witnessed the last 3 years was true greatness.
Yeah.
What we saw we saw two of the best to ever do it at Notre Dame this last couple years. and Isaiah Foskey and Michael Mayer. And both had chances to say, I'm done. I'm done. I'm not putting my body on the line for this. And both of them stepped up. And it says a lot about those young men. Whether or not that we saw their last game tonight, if this was Mayer's last game, what a freaking way to go out.
Absolutely.
For him. Man, not as a team. And you know what's funny? He won't view it that way. No. If you know Michael Mayer, he won't look at it that way. He will only care about two numbers, 38 and 27. That's all he's going to care about. Not eight catches, 98 yards, and two touchdowns. He's going to care about that, and he'll probably talk about the one block that he missed. That's what he'll talk about. And that's why he's great.
Yeah. And Chris Ayers is like, if Mayer comes back, this team will win the Natty in 23. Not saying he's coming back for next year. I was saying he might come back for the bowl game.
Bowl game, yes. That's Michael Mayer is not going to be on the Notre Dame football team in 2023.
As much as I would love that, that is not happening.
Yes. Honestly, if I was Marcus Freeman and he came in there, I was actually told this, and I don't know how true it is, but I was told that Quentin Nelson after 2017 was really thinking, like, you know, like, I don't know if I'm in there like, no, dude, it's time. If Michael Mayer came into my office like, hey, coach, I really want to come back next year, I'm like, bro, we would love to have you, but no, man, you got to do what's best for you.
Yeah,
you're close to getting your degree. You're going to get your degree soon. You've got a chance to be a very high draft pick, and you are walking away from Notre Dame relatively healthy. He's had a couple – like he missed the Virginia Tech game, but it was like an ankle injury, right? He's had no major injuries. You've had tremendous production. You grew as a player this year, as a blocker. There's no reason for him to come back. Yep. None. Right? I mean, Ryan, you tell me, is there any draft value to him coming out next year? I mean, is there anything he can prove to NFL scouts next year that he hasn't already done? So,
nah, I think he's a slam dunk top 20 pick in the draft as a tight end. I mean, what are you going to say about it? And he's easily the number one tight end in this year's class. Next year, you have to battle then with Brock Bowers for the jockeying of position and all that stuff, right? So, doesn't make any sense for
him. And for people talking about NIL bag at Foskey, Michael Mayer made a lot of money this year, folks. Mm-hmm. This is what y'all don't understand. Notre Dame is not in the NIL game as far as enticement for recruits. There's a lot of Notre Dame players that are much wealthier now than they were a year ago.
No doubt.
A lot wealthier now. And y'all need to understand that. So, y'all saw greatness in that regard.
And can we, people are saying that the only reason that Michael Mayer was on Notre Dame's team is because Kelly left. That is not, to my knowledge, that is not true.
Well,
he was offered an opportunity to leave and decided to stay.
Yes. Now what I had reported at Irish Breakdown was that there was at least a thought that if that would have happened, I might not have stayed, but he never got to that point because Kelly left the day after Stanford.
Right. Right.
But there was a conversation of after the fact, like, I don't know if I would have come back or turned down Bama and these schools that were pursuing him if he was back.
Yeah.
But there was never a decision to make because Kelly left before that conversation could even be had. So I just want to make sure that that's where people are very clear about that. Cole Barker with Super Chat. We're getting down near the bottom of these, so we're going to wrap up here very soon. Are we the team today without the losses to Stanford and Marshall? Was that necessary for us to find out who we are?
Was it necessary? No. Are they the team they are today without it? No, they're not, because everything that happens to you, positive and negative, it shapes you, right? And it shapes this team. Was it necessary to lose those games? No, it was not necessary to lose those games, but it still shaped them into who they are right now. Yeah. So it's kind of,
because if you're, like you said, Vince, if you're doing your job as a coach, even in a win, you can see what's wrong.
Sure.
You don't need to lose. Like if they had, you know, barely beaten Marshall and barely beaten Stanford, I'm sure our post game shows pretty much would have been the same. Like, we got the win, but this isn't good. That's not good. It would have been similar. So, you know, that's just being a part or connected to this program, because the expectations are high on an annual basis. So, you know, just last year, no one was happy about that Toledo win.
Right.
It was a win, but nobody was happy with that.
Well, except the boss man.
Yeah, of course.
And that's why he ultimately never won, because he was totally fine with an ugly win, where his team wasn't prepared because they got the W.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Marcus Freeman's not that way. Tom Arese isn't that way. Mike Mickens isn't that way. Harry Hiestand's not that way. If you're a true competitor, you could win by 20 and be pissed off because you know you didn't play your game. But did it make this team who they are? Yeah, it did. But I think winning would have as well. Would they be the team they are today? No, they wouldn't. They would be a different team because they had to respond to adversity in a way that a 10-2 team that beat Marshall or a team that would have been 10-1 didn't have to respond to. So they wouldn't be the team they are today. They'd be a different team. They'd be potentially a better team. You would hope, to Sean's point, that this coaching staff if Marcus Freeman doesn't have the chops to see a win over Marshall, Sean, to your an ugly win over Marshall, an ugly win over Stanford, as boy, we got to get better, then he's not the guy we think he is. And I just don't think he's that kind of guy. I don't. I think you kind of saw it after, was it the UNLV game? What was that game where they won, where he was super pissed afterwards? I think it was the UNLV game, right?
Yeah, it was.
I mean, they won 44-21, and he was – you'd have thought they lost 44-21 the way he was acting after the game. So I think he gets it. I do. I think he gets that. But I get Cole's point, though, right? But they would not have been this team. They would have been a different team, but I think lessons would have been learned either way. And last super chat, I believe this is the last one from Paul A. Great job with the game cast and post game show. Say, guys, I appreciate all you do. Get some sleep. And on that note, I think that's exactly what we're going to do.
Great advice.
You know, look, just so y'all know, we'll have an upon further review. We may do that Monday. I got to talk to Vince because we just got to see how, you know, tonight goes and everything going. So we will have an upon further review, breaking down this game.
Of course.
Next week, we'll be on a normal schedule. We'll have a lot of recruiting stuff. D Troll Hunter, going to bed. We are stronger now than we were this morning. Go Irish, go IB Nation. Appreciate you, D Troll Hunter. We are still going to continue. Lucky Lefty podcast isn't going anywhere. IB Nation, you know, Irish Breakdown podcast aren't going anywhere. IB Sports Talk's not going anywhere. We continue, right? There's no off season for us, but obviously our shift will change a little bit, but we're not going anywhere. So when I say this, but it has been a joy working with you guys this year and to see how this team has grown and to see how this community has grown. And I mean, we're sitting here November 26th. We're already over 1 million page views on the website. You know, we're on pace to blowing away our best month ever on the podcast. And it's because of y'all and it's the work that these guys do, but we all understand that we are just four weird dudes like talking at a football game. If it's not for y'all, you know, you all make this really what it is. And I truly, truly mean that from the bottom of my heart. So we want to thank all of you for being with us this season. And we look forward to seeing all of you in the off season because we've got a lot going on and this season's not over yet. Y'all, they got a bowl game to play. So we're not going anywhere, but I didn't want to let this end without just letting everybody know the appreciation that we have. And I know I speak for all of us because we have these conversations. I know sometimes y'all get frustrated with us and we get frustrated with you, but the fact is we love y'all and we love this community and we love the things that we do together and we're just getting started. So thank you all very, very much. Sean, Ryan, Vince, thank you guys very much for toughing it out. I know for Vince and Ryan, you know, Sean and I will have some late night conversations, you know, but for these two cats, you know, they're usually in bed like 3 hours ago. So we appreciate y'all powering through and being with me tonight. But have a great night, everybody. Hit that like, hit that subscribe, hit the notification bell, sign up for the message boards at boards.irishbreakdown.com. Check out the website at irishbreakdown.com. And if you're listening via podcast, please give us a 5-star review. And we will see you all again very, very soon on the IB Irish Breakdown podcast.